Chapter 2. Well, when I had been dead about 30 years, I begun to get a little anxious. Mind you, had been whizzing through space all that time, like a comet. Like a comet. Why, Peters, I laid over a lot of them. Of course there weren't any of them going my way, as a steady thing, you know, because they travel in a long circle like the loop of a lasso, whereas I was pointed as straight as a dart for the hereafter. But I happened on one every now, and then that was going my way for an hour or so, and then we had a bit of a brush together. But it was generally pretty one-sided, because I sailed by them the same, as if they were standing still. An ordinary comet don't make more than about 200,000 miles a minute. Of course when I came across one of that sort like Encke's and Halley's comets, for instance, it weren't anything but just a flash and a vanish, you see. You couldn't rightly call it a race. It was as if the comet was a gravel train, and I was a telegraph dispatch. But after I got outside of our astronomical system, I used to flush a comet occasionally that was something like, we haven't got any such comets, ours don't begin. One night I was swinging along at a good round gait, everything taut and trim, and the wind in my favor. I judged I was going about a million miles a minute. It might have been more, it couldn't have been less, when I flushed a most uncommonly big one about 3 points off my starboard bow. By his stern lights I judged he was bearing about northeast and by north half east. Well, it was so near my course that I wouldn't throw away the chance, so I fell off a point, steadied my helm, and went for him. You should have heard me whiz, and seen the electric fur fly. In about a minute and a half I was fringed out with an electrical nimbus that flamed around for miles and miles, and lit up all space like broad day. The comet was burning blue in the distance, like a sickly torch, when I first sighted him, but he begun to grow bigger and bigger as I crept up on him. I slipped up on him so fast, that when I had gone about 150,000,000 miles I was close enough to be swallowed up in the phosphorescent glory of his wake, and I couldn't see anything for the glare. Thinks I, it won't do to run into him, so I shunted to one side and tore along. By and by I closed up abreast of his tail. Do you know what it was like? It was like a gnat closing up on the continent of America. I forged along. By and by I had sailed along his coast for a little upwards of 150,000,000 miles, and then I could see by the shape of him that I hadn't even got up to his waistband yet. Why, Peters, we don't know anything about comets down here. If you want to see comets that are comets, you've got to go outside of our solar system where there's room for them, you understand? My friend, I've seen comets out there that couldn't even lay down inside the orbits of our noblest comets without their tails hanging over. Well, I boomed along another 150,000,000 miles, and got up abreast his shoulder, as you may say. I was feeling pretty fine, I tell you, but just then I noticed the officer of the deck come to the side and hoist his glass in my direction. Straight off I heard him sing out, "Hello there, ahoy! Shake her up, shake her up! Heave on 100,000,000,000,000 tons of brimstone! Aye, aye, sir! Pipe the starboard watch! All hands on deck! Aye, aye, sir! Send 200,000,000,000 men aloft to shake out royals and skyscrapers! Aye, aye, sir! Hand the stunsails! Hang out every rag you've got! Clothe her from stem to rudder post! Aye, aye, sir!" In about a second I begun to see I'd woke up a pretty ugly customer, Peters. In less than 10 seconds, that comet was just a blazing cloud of red-hot canvas. It was piled up into the heavens clean out of sight. The old thing seemed to swell out and occupy all space. The sulfur smoke from the furnaces, oh, well, nobody can describe the way it rolled and tumbled up into the skies, and nobody can half describe the way it smelt. Neither can anybody begin to describe the way that monstrous craft begun to crash along. and such another powwow, thousands of bosun's whistles screaming at once, and a crew like the populations of 100,000 worlds like ours all swearing at once. Well, I never heard the like of it before. We roared and thundered along side by side, both doing our level best, because I'd never struck a comet before that could lay over me, and so I was bound to beat this one or break something. I judged I had some reputation in space, and I calculated to keep it. I noticed I wasn't gaining as fast now as I was before, but still I was gaining. There was a power of excitement on board the comet. Upwards of 100 billion passengers swarmed up from below, and rushed to the side and begun to bet on the race. Of course this careened her, and damaged her speed. My, but wasn't the mate mad? He jumped at that crowd, with his trumpet in his hand, and sung out, "Amidships, amidships, you one, or I'll brain the last idiot of you." Well, sir, I gained and gained, little by little, till at last I went skimming sweetly by the magnificent old conflagration's nose. By this time the captain of the comet had been rousted out, and he stood there in the red glare forward, by the mate, in his shirt sleeves and slippers, his hair all rat's nests and one suspender hanging, and how sick those two men did look. I just simply couldn't help putting my thumb to my nose as I glided away and singing out, "Ta-ta! Ta-ta! Any word to send to your family?" "Peters, it was a mistake." "Yes, sir, I've often regretted that it was a mistake. You see, the captain had given up the race, but that remark was too tedious for him, he couldn't stand it. He turned to the mate, and says he, "Have we got brimstone enough of our own to make the trip?" "Yes, sir." "Sure?" "Yes, sir, more than enough." "How much have we got in cargo for Satan?" 1,800,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, till the next comet comes. Lighten ship. Lively now, lively, men. Heave the whole cargo overboard. Peters, look me in the eye, and be calm. I found out, over there, that a Kazark is exactly the bulk of 169 worlds like ours. They hove all that load overboard. When it fell, it wiped out a considerable raft of stars just as clean as if they'd been candles, and somebody blowed them out. As for the race, that was at an end. The minute she was lightened, the comet swung along by me the same, as if I was anchored. The captain stood on the stern, by the after davits, and put his thumb to his nose and sung out, "Ta-ta! Ta-ta! Maybe you've got some message to send your friends in the everlasting tropics." Then he hove up his other suspender and started forward, and inside of 3/4 of an hour his craft was only a pale torch again in the distance. Yes, it was a mistake, Peters, that remark of mine. I don't reckon I'll ever get over being sorry about it. I'd a beat the bully of the firmament if I'd kept my mouth shut. But I've wandered a little off the track of my tale. I'll get back on my course again. Now you see what kind of speed I was making. So, as I said, when I had been tearing along this way about 30 years, I begun to get uneasy. Oh, it was pleasant enough, with a good deal to find out, but then it was kind of lonesome, you know. Besides, I wanted to get somewhere. I hadn't shipped with the idea of cruising forever. First off, I liked the delay, because I judged I was going to fetch up in pretty warm quarters when I got through, but towards the last I begun to feel that I'd rather go to, well, most any place, so as to finish up the uncertainty. Well, one night it was always night, except when I was rushing by some star that was occupying the whole universe with its fire and its glare light enough then, of course, but I necessarily left it behind in a minute or two and plunged into a solid week of darkness again. The stars ain't so close together as they look to be. Where was I? Oh yes. One night I was sailing along, when I discovered a tremendous long row of blinking lights away on the horizon ahead. As I approached, they begun to tower, and swell and look like mighty furnaces. Says I to myself, By George, I've arrived at last and at the wrong place, just as I expected. Then I fainted. I don't know how long I was insensible, but it must have been a good while, for, when I came to, the darkness was all gone, and there was the loveliest sunshine, and the balmiest, fragrantest air in its place. And there was such a marvelous world spread out before me, such a glowing, beautiful, bewitching country. The things I took for furnaces were gates, miles high, made all of flashing jewels, and they pierced a wall of solid gold, that you couldn't see the top of, nor yet the end of, in either direction. I was pointed straight for one of these gates, and they come in like a house of fire. Now I noticed, that the skies were black with millions of people, pointed for those gates. What a roar they made, rushing through the air. The ground was as thick as ants with people, 2 billions of them, I judge. I lit. I drifted up to a gate with a swarm of people, and when it was my turn the head clerk says, in a business-like way, well, quick. Where are you from?
San Francisco, says I.
San Fran, what? Says he.
San Francisco.
He scratched his head and looked puzzled, then he says, is it a planet?
By George. Peters, think of it.
Planet? Says I, it's a city. And moreover, it's one of the biggest and finest and,
there,
says he, no time here for conversation. We don't deal in cities here. Where are you from in a general way?
Oh, I says, I beg your pardon.
Put me down for California.
I add him again, Peters.
He puzzled a second, then he says, sharp and irritable, I don't know any such planet, is it a constellation?
Oh, my goodness,
says one.
Constellation, says you?
No, it's a state.
Man, we don't deal in states here.
Will you tell me, where you are from in general at large, don't you understand?
Oh, now I get your idea, I says.
I'm from America, the United States of America.
Peters, do you know I had him again?
If I hadn't I may clam.
His face was as blank as a target after a militia shooting match.
He turned to an under clerk, and says, where is America? What is America?
The under clerk answered up prompt, and says, there ain't any such orb.
Orb? Says one.
Hi, what are you talking about, young man?
It ain't an orb. It's a country. It's a continent.
Columbus discovered it.
I reckon likely you've heard of him, anyway.
America, why, sir, America,
silence, says the head clerk.
See for all, where are you from?
Well, says I don't know anything more to say unless I lump things, and just say I'm from the world.
Ah, says he, brightening up, now that's something like.
What world?
Peters, he had me, that time.
I looked at him. Puzzled, he looked at me, worried.
Then he burst out, come, what world?
Says I, why, the world, of course.
The world, he says.
There's billions of them,
next.
That meant for me to stand aside.
I done so, and a sky blue man with 7 heads, and only 1 leg hopped into my place.
I took a walk.
It just occurred to me then, that all the myriads I had seen swarming to that gate, up to this time, were just like that creature.
I tried to run across somebody I was acquainted with, but they were out of acquaintances of mine just then. So I thought the thing all over, and finally sidled back there pretty meek and feeling rather stumped, as you may say.
Well? Said the head clerk.
Well, sir, I says. Pretty humble, I don't seem to make out which world it is I'm from.
But you may know it from this, it's the one the Savior saved.
He bent his head at the name.
Then he says, gently, the worlds he has saved are like to the gates of heaven in number ... none can count them.
What astronomical system is your world in?
Perhaps that may assist.
It's the one, that has the sun in it and the moon and Mars.
He shook his head at each name, hadn't ever heard of them, you see, and Neptune and Uranus and Jupiter.
Hold on, says he, hold on a minute.
Jupiter. Jupiter seems to me, we had a man from there 800 or 900 years ago, but people from that system very seldom enter by this gate. All of a sudden he begun to look me, so straight in the eye, that I thought he was going to bore through me. Then he says, very deliberate, did you come straight here from your system? Yes, sir, I says, but I blushed the least little bit in the world when I said it. He looked at me very stern, and says, that is not true, and this is not the place for prevarication. You wandered from your course. How did that happen? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.